Today we are continuing our study on the story of the New Testament.
Hoy estamos continuando nuestro estudio sobre la historia del Nuevo Testamento.
And so if you're following along in the lesson text, we're in lesson number 10 for November 8th.
Estamos en lección 10 del 8 de noviembre.
And today's lesson is entitled The Letters of Paul, Part 1.
El título de la lección de hoy es Las Cartas de Pablo.
Now remember, we've been going through an overview of the whole Bible.
Recuerde, hemos estado estudiando sobre toda la Biblia.
In our first unit, we went through the story of the Old Testament.
En nuestra primera unidad, estudiábamos el Antiguo Testamento.
And now that we're going through the story of the New Testament,
y ahora que estamos estudiando el Nuevo Testamento,
we're seeing first the birth, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ.
Estamos mirando acerca del nacimiento, la muerte y resurrección de Cristo.
Then last Sunday we saw how the church began to progress and move forward after Jesus' ascension.
Y el domingo pasado estudiábamos cómo el reino avanza después de la resurrección de Cristo.
The early church was empowered with the Holy Spirit.
La iglesia tenía el poder del Espíritu Santo.
They were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance.
Estaban bautizados en el Espíritu Santo y hablaron en otras lenguas.
And they began to go forth and preach the gospel in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Y predicaron el Evangelio en Judea, Galilea, Samaria, y en toda parte del mundo.
And eventually, when the Apostle Paul was saved,
eventualmente, después que el apóstol Pablo fue salvo,
and as Paul was led by the Holy Spirit,
y como fue dirigido por el Espíritu Santo,
Paul began to go beyond Samaria into the uttermost parts of the earth.
Pablo entró a otras partes del mundo, más de el área de Samaria.
And as Paul being used by God to start many churches,
y Pablo fue usado por el Espíritu Santo para empezar iglesias.
And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
y debajo de la inspiración del Espíritu Santo,
the Apostle Paul wrote letters to the churches that he started.
El apóstol Pablo escribió cartas a las iglesias que él empezó.
And these letters would become the majority of our New Testament.
Y estas cartas son lo que hacen la mayoría de nuestro Nuevo Testamento.
And so today's lesson is the first part of the letters of Paul.
La lección de hoy es la primera parte, las cartas de Pablo.
So let's open in prayer.
Vamos a abrir en oración.
Lord, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for how you use men and women of God to proclaim the gospel. And I pray that you would use what we study this morning to provoke us, even to realize that though we are weak and frail, Lord, it's those very kinds of people that you will use as we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that you would bless our study this morning, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way among us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The Letters of Paul, Part 1.
Las Cartas de Pablo, Primera Parte.
Our central truth this morning is this.
Nuestra verdad central es,
the writings of the Apostle Paul provide instructions for the church.
Las Cartas del Apóstol Pablo proporcionan instrucciones para la iglesia.
And thankfully, God moved upon the Apostle Paul and others to instruct the church.
Y gracias a Dios que él movió sobre el corazón de Pablo para instruir a la iglesia.
Don't get me wrong. Thank God that we have the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide us into all truth.
Por favor, entiende. Gracias a Dios que tenemos al Espíritu Santo para dirigirnos.
But God also anoints teachers who will instruct us in the ways of God.
Pero también Dios unge a hombres y mujeres de Dios para usarlos para instruirnos en la manera de Dios.
And as we grow and as we are learning to mature in the things of God, we need instruction.
Y mientras que estamos creciendo y aún teniendo madurez en las cosas de Dios, necesitamos instrucciones.
And so the writings of the Apostle Paul provide this kind of instruction for the church.
Y por eso las cartas del apóstol Pablo proveían instrucciones para la iglesia.
Our key verse this morning is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16.
Nuestro versículo clave se encuentra en Romanos 1:16.
Does anybody want to read our key verse, Romans 1:16? Paul expresses in the book of Romans that he's not ashamed of the gospel.
En el libro de Romanos, Pablo expresó que no estaba tenía vergüenza del evangelio.
Remember, that word gospel means good message or good news.
Recuerde, esa palabra evangelio quiere decir buenas nuevas.
And like Paul, we should never be ashamed of the good news. Amen?
Y como Pablo, nunca debemos de avergüenzarnos del evangelio.
I like the way the King James says it. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Y en la Reina Valera dice que no me avergüenzo del evangelio de Cristo.
I like how it adds of Christ, because the gospel is good news because it's all made possible through Christ.
Me gusta como dice el evangelio de Cristo, porque el evangelio son buenas nuevas de Cristo.
Christ is our message.
Cristo es nuestro mensaje.
We preach the cross.
Predicamos la cruz.
Christ and Him crucified.
Cristo y Él crucificado.
And He says in this verse that this message of Christ, this good news of Jesus,
y Él dice, este mensaje de Cristo,
it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
Es poder de Dios para salvación a todo aquel que cree.
We must always remember that salvation is found in Christ alone. There is no other way.
Siempre tenemos que recordar que salvación se encuentra en Jesucristo y solo en Él.
There is no other way. Good works, good deeds, denominational attendance, all these things, salvation is found in Christ alone.
No hay otra manera. No hay buenas obras, nuestra denominación, otras cosas para proveer salvación, solamente Cristo.
Now, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 letters that we have in our New Testament.
El apóstol Pablo escribió 13 cartas en el Nuevo Testamento.
Now, that does not include the book of Hebrews.
Sin contar Hebreos.
And the reason why is the author is questionable. We really don't know who wrote it.
La razón es que no estamos cierto quién escribió Hebreos.
But as we study the 13 letters of Paul, we will see Paul's understanding of the gospel.
Mientras que estudiamos estas 13 cartas de Pablo, vamos a entender cómo Pablo entendió el evangelio.
Have you ever received an important letter in the mail?
Una pregunta, ¿qué cartas importantes has recibido?
In many ways, as you think about that important letter, you know, for someone that is going to college and they receive that acceptance letter of going to that college.
Podemos imaginarnos como una carta de un alumno que espera su carta de aceptación en su colegio.
In many ways, these letters of Paul were very important to the churches that he wrote, as well as to the church, which is you and me.
Y en muchas maneras, estas cartas eran tan importantes a la iglesia de ese tiempo y aún para nosotros hoy.
These letters would be more than just communication between him and those churches.
Estas cartas eran más de simplemente comunicación a esas iglesias.
They were ultimately inspired by the Holy Spirit and would become a part of God's Word, the Bible.
Últimamente, cada carta fue inspirada por el Espíritu Santo y se estableció como parte de la palabra de Dios.
Even Peter recognized Paul's letters as scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16.
En 2 de Pedro 3, 15 y 16, Pedro reconoció la autoridad de la Escritura.
As we read through Paul's letters, we begin to understand Paul's understanding of the new covenant.
Y mientras que leemos estas cartas, entendemos el entendimiento que Pablo tuvo sobre el nuevo pacto.
The Apostle Paul was given the understanding of this gospel or good news by revelation. He was not taught it by men.
Pablo recibió su entendimiento del Evangelio, las buenas nuevas, por el Espíritu Santo. No fue enseñado solo por hombre.
So as we study Paul's letters, it's through his letters that we begin to understand the importance and the beauty of the new covenant.
Y mientras que estudiamos estas cartas de Pablo, vamos a ver la belleza del nuevo pacto.
And so let's get into our lesson today. Turn to the book of Romans.
Vaya conmigo al libro de Romanos.
And we will begin to see how Paul began to bring out how we are made right with God.
Vamos a leer como Pablo escribió que somos justificados con Dios.
Here in this church, we've done a study on the book of Romans.
Hemos estudiado el libro de Romanos aquí en nuestra iglesia.
You can still go online and look at that whole series if you'd like.
Y esa serie está en línea si quiere oírlo otra vez.
But as Paul begins to bring out this understanding of being made right with God,
y mientras que Pablo hablaba de ser justificados con Dios,
he establishes first that all people deserve God's wrath.
Primero, él estableció, todos merecemos la ira de Dios.
We must understand that everyone, all people, are sinful by nature.
Necesitamos entender que cada uno de nosotros, el ser humano, tiene pecado. Naturaleza.
We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners.
No somos pecadores porque hacemos pecados. Hacemos pecados porque somos pecadores.
And it brings us to this reality that we deserve to be punished for our sin.
Y nos trae a la realidad que debemos ser castigados por nuestro pecado.
And so Paul would establish this truth and bring us to the point of God's plan of salvation.
Pablo nos trajo a establecer este punto y nos trajo a entender cerca de salvación.
Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 23.
Vaya conmigo a Romanos 1, 17 a 23.
And it says this, I'll read this first portion. It says, "For in it, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." And we must emphasize that. "So they are without excuse. Man is without excuse before a holy God." Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile or vain in their imaginations." Let me make sure I get it right here. "In their thinking," or their imaginations, "and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." In these verses, Paul begins to show the Romans and ultimately all humanity that we are guilty before a holy God.
En estos versos, Pablo enseñó a los romanos y a toda humanidad que estamos pecadosos delante de Dios.
In Romans 1:17, he shows that salvation is only provided through God first.
En verso 17 nos enseña que la justicia,
and this justification by faith must be received by faith.
La justicia de Dios se revela por la fe y para fe.
And so he brings to the forefront the subject of justification by faith.
Y él trae adelante el punto de ser justificados por fe.
But before a person can really appreciate it,
pero antes que una persona puede apreciarlo,
they need to realize how sinful they are.
Necesita realizar el pecado que tiene.
And so Paul begins to show that people are without excuse before God in verses 18 through 23.
Y en versos 18 a 23, Pablo enseña como el hombre no tiene excusa.
And he shows how God has revealed his eternal power and divine nature in creation itself.
Y como Dios ha revelado su poder en la creación misma.
Its order.
Su orden.
The beauty.
Su belleza.
The purpose.
Y el propósito.
And the grandeur testify to the Creator God.
Que todo testifica al Creador Dios.
And it's plainly calling out to humans to worship him for who he is and what he has done.
Y está llamando a la gente para adorarle por quien él es.
The complexity of the world and of the order of the universe and such.
La complexión del mundo y todo eso.
All of this speaks to Creator God.
Todo esto habla de la divina creación.
It speaks of the ultimate.
Nos habla del último.
Someone, some creator, a being of power put it all together.
Un creador de poder que creó todo.
It speaks of the glory of God.
Y nos habla de la gloria de Dios.
It's like an artist who has a beautiful painting.
Como un artista que tiene dibujo ahí.
And the observer of that painting looks at its beauty, its intricate work.
Y la persona que mira lo que él ha hecho.
It wasn't just paint just thrown on a wall, even though there's some modern painting like that, but you know what I mean.
No era algo pintado de repente tirado ahí en la pared.
Even then, someone had to throw it there.
Porque alguien tenía que poner esa pinta.
But you
ahí.
Look at the beauty of that artwork, and ultimately you're caused to question, who is the artist?
Y miras la belleza de lo que él hizo, y preguntas, ¿quién es el artista?
This is what Paul is bringing out here.
Y esto es lo que Pablo está enseñando aquí.
The complexity, the order, the beauty of creation speaks of a designer.
El orden y la belleza de la creación habla del creador.
Of a creator.
De nuestro creador.
Even as science advances and we understand even more about human DNA or the DNA in a human cell.
Mientras las cosas avanzan y entendemos más de el celular humano y el DNA.
The intricate programming that is in the human DNA.
Y como está programado el DNA en el humano.
Even the DNA of plants and animals.
Aún en plantas y animales.
Speaks of someone that programmed it, that coded it into the DNA.
Habla de alguien que hizo esas cosas.
It speaks of intelligent design.
Y nos habla de la inteligencia del creador.
And ultimately, when every human being stands before God, because all will.
Y últimamente, cuando cada ser humano se pare delante de Dios.
All humanity will be without excuse.
Toda la humanidad será allí sin excusa.
Turn to Romans chapter 3.
Vaya conmigo a Romanos 3.
And we see that even though man is sinful and depraved before God.
Y miramos que aunque el ser humano es pecadoroso delante de Dios.
God made provision for man through his son, Jesus Christ.
Dios proveó provisión por medio de su hijo, Jesucristo.
He made a way for man to be saved.
Y Dios proveyó manera para ser salvado.
Look at chapter 3, verses 20 through 24.
Romanos 3, versos 20 a 24.
And it says, "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law condemns everyone as guilty."
La ley condena a cada uno como culpable.
Look at verses 21 through 24. It says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord that there is redemption in Christ. Amen.
Gracias a Dios que hay redención en Cristo.
We deserve God's wrath.
Merecemos la ira de Dios.
But being born again and receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Pero en recibiendo a Jesucristo como Salvador.
Justifies us in the sight of a holy God.
Nos hace justificados delante de un Dios santo.
He has made provision.
Él ha proveído provisión.
And He makes available forgiveness and reconciliation with God.
Y hace que podemos tener reconciliación y perdón de Dios.
Now, our second point this morning is, we are reconciled to God through Jesus.
Somos reconciliados con Dios a través de Jesús.
You see, we were estranged from God because of our sin.
Estábamos alejados de Dios por nuestro pecado.
But because God desires a relationship with us.
Pero porque Él desea tener una relación con nosotros.
He gave His only begotten Son to restore our relationship with Himself.
Él dio a su único Hijo para traer reconciliación a nosotros.
Turn to Romans chapter 5.
Vaya conmigo a Romanos 5.
And if somebody would like to read verse 1 as well as 6 through 8. Romans 5, verse 1, 6 through 8.
Romanos 5, versos 1 y luego 6 a 8.
These are beautiful verses.
Estos son versículos bellos.
The book of Romans is a wonderful book for the Christian to understand.
El libro de Romanos es un libro poderoso para el creyente entender.
Paul has established the whole world is under sin.
Pablo estableció que todo el mundo está debajo del pecado.
But God has made a way for man to be saved and all of their sin wiped away.
Pero Dios ha hecho manera para que cada uno puede ser perdonado y el pecado se hace limpio.
And He has done it through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Y lo hizo por medio de su Hijo, Jesucristo.
Romans 5, verse 1 is one of those verses we should memorize.
Romanos 5:1 es un versículo que debemos de tener en nuestra memoria.
Because it says, "Since we have been justified by faith."
Justificados pues por la fe.
Notice the tense of the words here.
Fíjese en la manera de estas palabras.
It doesn't say, "Since we shall be justified by faith."
No habla en el futuro.
It says, no, we are, we have been justified by faith.
Habla de que ya estamos justificados por la fe.
And because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Tenemos paz para con Dios por medio de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
This peace is that there is no more enmity, there is no more disagreement in the middle.
Esta paz nos trae que ya no hay ninguna cosa dividiéndonos de Dios.
We are at peace with God.
Tenemos paz con Dios.
Whatever was in between us has been wiped away.
Y toda cosa que estaba en medio ya no está allí.
So that now we can be intimately acquainted with our God.
Y ahora podemos conocer a nuestro Dios en una manera íntima.
And the love that God has for you and me is shown in verses 6 through 8, as Sister Desiree read.
Y el amor que Dios tiene para usted y para mí está enseñado en versículos 6 a 8.
For it says clearly that when we were weak in the right time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Dice Cristo, cuando aún éramos débiles, a su tiempo murió por los impios.
And verse 7 begins to show how, you know, it says, scarcely would one die, someone would barely die for a righteous person.
Ciertamente apenas moriría alguno por un justo.
It even says, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die.
Con todo pudiera ser que alguien tuviera el valor de morir por el bueno.
But verse 8 establishes God's love for you and for me.
Versículo 8 establece, nos enseña el amor de Dios a nosotros.
Because God shows his love for you and me, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Pero Dios muestra su amor para con nosotros en que siendo aún pecadores, Cristo murió por nosotros.
God loved you and me even before we were saved.
Dios nos amó aún antes que fuimos salvados.
Christ died to provide justification and reconciliation with God.
Cristo murió para proveer justificación y reconciliación a Dios.
And he did it for us even while we were still sinners.
Y lo hizo aún cuando éramos pecadores.
God's love was great before we were saved.
El amor de Dios era tan grande aún antes que fuimos salvados.
Imagine God's heart for you now that you have chosen him and are his children.
Ahora imagínese del amor de Dios y cuán grande es a nosotros como sus hijos.
We are reconciled. We are justified.
Somos reconciliados y justificados.
We are children of the living God.
Somos hijos del Dios viviente.
It's like that song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Como el canto que dice, cuando él estaba en la cruz, yo estaba en su mente.
Ultimately, we can have a relationship with God that will be without condemnation.
Últimamente, podemos tener relación con Dios sin tener condenación.
In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, we see there is no condemnation.
En Romanos 8, versículos 1 y 2, leemos que ya no hay condenación.
It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Dice, ahora pues, ninguna condenación hay para los que están en Cristo Jesús.
For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death.
Porque la ley del Espíritu de vida en Cristo Jesús me ha librado de la ley del pecado y de la muerte.
Because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus.
Hemos sido lavados en la sangre de Cristo.
And we are God's children.
Y somos los hijos de Dios.
We do not need to walk around with condemnation.
No necesitamos andar abajo de condenación.
There will be times when God convicts us of things that we've done wrong.
Va a haber veces que Dios va a traer convicción por lo malo que hacemos.
But we don't need to carry around condemnation.
Pero no necesitamos cargar condenación.
One of our classmates at the Bible school said, you can send me to any nation, just don't send me to condemnation.
Un alumno de la escuela bíblica dijo, me puedes mandar a cualquier nación, pero no me mandes a condenación.
His name was Philip.
Se llamaba Philip.
We can be free in Christ.
Podemos ser libres en Cristo.
And there's a difference between condemnation and conviction.
Hay una gran diferencia en condenación y convicción.
When you have condemnation,
cuando tenemos condenación,
it drives you away from God.
Nos quiere que queremos alejarnos de Dios.
Remember that. Condemnation drives you away from God.
La condenación nos manda lejos de Dios.
Conviction.
Pero la convicción.
It draws you to God.
Nos quiere que nos acercamos a Dios.
And when we feel convicted by the Holy Spirit,
y cuando el Espíritu Santo trae convicción,
it causes us to say, oh God, have mercy.
Nos hace clamar, ay, oh Dios, ten misericordia.
Forgive me.
Perdóname.
I know I've hurt your heart.
Yo sé que yo he hecho mal.
Please forgive me.
Por favor, perdóname.
Amen.
Amen.
Our second part, as we're looking at Paul's letters,
parte dos en las cartas de Pablo,
speaks concerning apostolic correction and counsel.
Nos habla de la corrección y el consejo apostólico.
Paul has shown that we have been provided salvation through Christ alone.
Pablo nos enseñó que recibimos salvación por medio de Jesucristo solamente.
He shows us how to be made right with God.
Y nos enseña cómo ser reconciliados con Dios.
But Paul's letters also speak about correction and counsel.
Pero las cartas también hablan de corrección y consejo.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see believers are encouraged toward unity.
En 1 de Corintios 3, leemos que se anima a los creyentes a la unidad.
We must understand that the Bible is our authority for both belief and conduct.
Tenemos que entender que la Biblia es nuestra autoridad
for belief and conduct.
Para la creencia y cómo nos conductamos.
And we get the understanding of how we are to live as Christians through God's Word.
Y entendemos cómo debemos de vivir por medio de la palabra de Dios.
You don't get your understanding on how to live from the pastor.
No recibimos nuestro entendimiento de cómo vivir por medio del pastor.
Or if the pastor is proclaiming the word, you follow the word.
O si el pastor está proclamando la palabra, nosotros vamos a seguir la palabra de Dios.
The Bible is our instruction book.
La Biblia es nuestro libro de instrucciones.
And that's why we need to have a life in the Word.
Y por eso necesitamos tener vida leyendo la Biblia.
The Apostle Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth.
El apóstol Pablo tuvo un año y medio en Corintio.
That allowed him to establish a relationship with the church and to instruct this infant congregation.
Y por eso podía tener comunicación y relación con los creyentes de esa área.
And what we find in the Corinthian letters is that there's a lot of problems and solutions.
Y leemos en las cartas de los Corintios que había muchos problemas y problems and
solutions.
Y soluciones.
And what we see is a lot of instruction in the Corinthian letters.
Y leemos acerca de muchas correcciones y consejos en los Corintios.
And he encourages them to be united, not divided.
Pablo los animaba a unidad y no división.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 through 11.
Vamos a leer primero de Corintios 3, 1 a 11.
He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you're not ready. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not merely human? Are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In this Corinthian church, there was an issue of division that was growing in this congregation.
En la congregación de esta iglesia en Corintio había una división que estaba pasando.
One was saying, I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos.
Unos decían, yo soy de Pablo. Otros decían, yo soy de Apolos.
It was an issue that was bringing division to this congregation.
Y esto traía división entre la congregación.
We see similar things happening in the church world even today.
Aún vemos cosas de esta manera en la iglesia de hoy.
When some say, I'm of Trump or I'm of Biden.
Algunos dicen, yo soy de Presidente Trump, y otros dicen, yo soy de Biden.
Ultimately, the point is, we must be united in Christ.
Últimamente, el punto de Pablo era que debemos de tener unidad en Cristo.
We must be in prayer for our nation. We must be in prayer for our leaders. Yes.
Sí, debemos de estar en oración por nuestra nación y nuestros líderes.
But ultimately, the church must be united and not divided.
Pero últimamente, la iglesia necesita ser unidos y no divididos.
Satan finds fertile ground to destroy and bring destruction when there is division.
Satanás halla tierra que para producir divisiones.
And so this church, as Paul would bring out, was still very immature.
Y esta iglesia, como Pablo enseñó, necesitaba más madurez.
It was focusing on the temporal and forgetting the reality of eternity.
Estaban mirando las cosas temporales y no las cosas eternas.
He says, I fed you with milk. I couldn't feed you meat.
Él les dijo, yo les di leche, no podía darles carne.
And he said, look, you're still in need of instruction. You still can't handle the meat.
Y les dijo, todavía necesitan instrucciones. No pueden tomar la carne, las cosas duras.
Because they were babes in Christ.
Porque eran bebés en Cristo.
There was a tendency among them to be driven to jealousy and quarreling.
Y se hallaban enojarse y en tener celos.
And he begins to show them that Paul and Apollos were just human beings that God was using.
Y enseñó que él, Pablo, y Apollos eran colaboradores que Dios estaba usando.
That they were human.
Que eran ser humanos.
But the foundation is Christ.
Pero la fundación es Cristo.
They were building upon that foundation.
De Cristo estaban creciendo.
They were co-laborers. They were actually working together in the kingdom.
Eran colaboradores trabajando en el reino.
It wasn't about which one was better or which one was worse.
No era de quién era mejor o quién era más peor.
No, the church must unite in following God.
La iglesia se necesita unir en seguir a Dios.
And so he called them to unity.
Y los llamó a la unidad.
Another thing that Paul would bring to the understanding of the church.
Otra cosa que Pablo enseñó a la iglesia.
Is that we are saved by faith and not by works.
Es que somos salvos por fe, no por obras.
Turn to Galatians chapter 3.
Vaya conmigo a Gálatas 3.
And here in Galatians, Paul establishes this fact that we are saved by faith and not by works.
Aquí en este libro de Gálatas, Pablo estableció que somos salvos por fe y no obras.
You see, there are some people that believe that if they do enough good deeds, they can earn their way into heaven.
Algunas personas creen que si hacen suficientes buenas obras, pueden abrirse camino al cielo.
But if that was true, the death and resurrection of Jesus would have been unnecessary.
Si eso fuera cierto, la muerte y resurrección de Jesús sería innecesaria.
Think about it.
Piénsalo.
I mean, if we could earn our way into heaven by doing good, then why did Jesus come at all?
si nosotros tenemos la promesa del cielo por nuestras buenas obras, entonces no necesitamos a Jesucristo.
The only way to be reconciled to God is by having faith in His redemption plan, in which Jesus took the punishment for our sin.
La única manera de ser reconciliados con Dios es tener fe en su plan redentor, en el que Jesús asumió el castigo por el pecado.
And sadly, there are other people.
Tristemente, hay otros.
That they can believe that they can be saved by faith plus works.
Otras personas que creen que son salvos por fe además de las obras.
And whenever that mindset begins to be believed,
y cuando alguien empieza a pensar esto,
it takes away from the completion of the plan of salvation through Christ.
Toma de la completación la verdad del plan de salvación por medio de Jesús, a través de Jesús.
What Christ did for us was all, it was everything was done.
Lo que Jesucristo hizo por nosotros era suficiente, fue todo.
When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished.
Cuando murió en la cruz, dijo, está terminado.
That meant that everything necessary for our salvation was accomplished through Christ alone.
Esto nos dice que todo lo que necesitamos por salvación fue completo solamente por Cristo.
All that we have to do is simply receive what He has already done.
Y nosotros solamente necesitamos recibir lo que Él hizo.
Look at Galatians 3, verses 1 through 14.
Miran conmigo a Gálatas, en Gálatas 3, versículos 1 a 14.
He says, "O foolish Galatians."
Dice, Gálatas, insensatos.
It's amazing, instead of saying, "My brothers and sisters in Christ."
Fíjese, no dijo hermanos o hermanas en Cristo.
No, he's about to rebuke them.
Porque tenía corrección.
He's going to speak strongly to them.
Y les iba a hablar fuerte.
He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Mm-hmm. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.' So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Paul is establishing that we're saved by faith and not by works.
Pablo estableció que somos salvos por fe y no buenas obras.
False teachers were beginning to make inroads to this church in churches in Galatia.
Los falsos maestros estaban empezando a entrar en esta iglesia en Gálatas.
They were telling them to follow the law and to be circumcised.
Les decían que necesitaban obedecer la ley y ser circuncido.
They were adding to faith. They were saying, "You're saved by faith plus works."
Decían, están salvos por la fe, pero hay más que necesitas hacer.
And so this caused Paul to get a little angered with this church.
Y Pablo se enojó un poco con esta congregación.
Because some of them were believing this heresy.
Porque algunos estaban creyendo esta mal enseñanza.
And so he calls them foolish Galatians.
Y por eso les llamó Gálatas insensatos.
And what this indicates is that they knew the correct path, but chose to turn from it.
Y esto indica que ellos sabían la manera correcta, pero decidieron alejarse de ese camino de verdad.
And so he turns their attention back to Abraham, who was justified by faith.
Y Pablo les trajo una vez más a ver a Abraham, quien fue justificado por la fe.
How they received the gospel by faith.
Como recibieron el evangelio por fe.
How they received the Holy Spirit by faith.
Y como recibieron el Espíritu Santo por fe.
And sadly, they were beginning to want to go into works.
Y tristemente, ahora querían entrar a hacer buenas obras.
In another part of Galatians, he would say that they have fallen from grace.
En otra parte de este libro en Gálatas, les dijo que habían caído de la gracia.
We are saved by grace.
Nosotros somos salvos por la gracia.
Through faith.
Por fe.
We are not saved by works, lest anyone should boast.
Y no por buenas obras, sino podíamos decir más de eso.
Now, part three in our study this morning.
Parte tres en nuestro estudio.
Paul begins to show the significance of the resurrection.
Pablo enseñó la importancia de la resurrección.
And first, let's look at the resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Vamos a leer acerca de la resurrección de Cristo en 1 de Corintios 15, 12 a 22.
Does somebody want to read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 22? Amen. These verses are Paul explaining the importance of the resurrection of Jesus.
En estos versos, Pablo enseñó la importancia de la resurrección de Cristo.
This truth of the resurrection of Jesus.
Esta verdad de la resurrección de Jesús.
It actually separates Christianity from all other religions.
Es lo que separa al cristianismo de otras religiones.
This resurrection of Christ gives us hope for our own resurrection.
Esta resurrección de Cristo nos da esperanza para nuestra futura resurrección.
Sadly, some in the Corinthian church had begun to believe that there is no resurrection.
Pero tristemente, algunos en esta iglesia en Corintio empezaron a creer que no había resurrección.
And so Paul gives a direct argument for the resurrection of the dead.
Pero Pablo da la verdad directamente a la resurrección de Cristo.
And he begins to show if there is no resurrection, then Christ has not resurrected.
Y dice, si no hay resurrección, entonces Cristo no resucitó.
And if Christ hasn't been resurrected, then we are still in our sin.
Y si Cristo no resucitó, entonces nosotros todavía estamos en nuestro pecado.
Our preaching is in vain.
Y nuestra predicación es en vano.
Even our faith is in vain.
Aún nuestra fe es en vano.
You would even say we are of most men most miserable.
Y somos de los hombres más miserables.
And so he begins to show, no, there is a resurrection.
Y dice en estos versos, no, sí hay resurrección.
He says Christ has been raised from the dead.
Cristo sí resucitó de la muerte.
And in verse 20, he says Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Y dice en verso 20, Cristo ha resucitado de los muertos, primicias de los que murieron es hecho.
What that means is this.
Y eso quiere decir esto.
Jesus Christ is the first that has died and has come out of the grave alive.
Jesucristo es el primero que murió y resucitó de la de la muerte vivo. Y está vivo.
And he's alive forevermore.
Y está vivo para siempre.
Now, we're not talking about like the story of Lazarus.
Y no estamos hablando como la historia de Lázaro.
Where he was dead and came back to life.
Lázaro murió y salió de vida por milagro.
But in staying alive, he didn't live forever.
Pero cuando él recibió vida otra vez, no siguió viviendo para siempre.
He came back to life in this life and ultimately died a physical death.
Porque últimamente murió otra vez físicamente.
We're not talking about what happened to Elijah and Enoch.
Y ni estamos hablando de lo que pasó con Elías y Enoch.
Those two gentlemen are still alive and have never died.
Estos dos hombres están vivos y nunca murieron.
They've never died a physical death.
Nunca murieron físicamente. Incredible.
But Jesus Christ is the only one that has died, has been buried, and has resurrected from the dead.
Entonces Jesucristo es el único quien vivió, murió, resucitó y está vivo para siempre.
And so he's called the first fruits.
Y por eso está llamado como la primicias.
That means that he's the first one, but there are many following him.
Esto nos dice que él es primero, pero muchos van a seguir.
The Bible describes two resurrections.
La Biblia describe dos resurrecciones.
A resurrection of life and a resurrection of death.
La resurrección de vida y la resurrección de la muerte.
All that die will one day come out of the grave.
Todos los que mueren un día van a salir de la tierra.
Those that have been born again will be resurrected to eternal life.
Y los que están salvos van a resucitar a nueva vida.
Those that have rejected Christ will come out of the grave and stand before God's judgment throne and cast into the lake of fire.
Pero los que murieron en sus pecados y no aceptaron a Jesucristo van a salir de la muerte y estar delante de Dios y ser castigados en el lago de fuego.
Now let's look at the resurrection of believers.
Ahora vamos a ver acerca de la resurrección de los creyentes.
Look at verses 50 through 58.
Primera de Corintios 15, 50 a 58.
It says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This, when it mentions a mystery, is something that was unrevealed in the Old Testament. This was a brand new revelation given to Paul. He says, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. Because of Christ's resurrection.
James, there's a question on YouTube in a minute.
Okay.
If you want to see. Por medio de la resurrección de Cristo.
Because of Christ's resurrection, we can be certain that we will be resurrected too.
Tenemos esperanza que nosotros también vamos a resucitar de la muerte.
We don't need to fear death as Christians.
No necesitamos temer la muerte como cristianos.
Because death has been conquered by Jesus Christ.
Porque hemos vencido la muerte por medio de Jesucristo.
Now we can anticipate a future resurrection.
Y podemos esperar esa resurrección del futuro.
Now, since flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God,
y porque la carne no puede recibir el reino de Dios,
a transformation must occur.
Tenemos que tener una transformación.
And that's what Paul describes in verses 50 through 54.
Y esto es lo que Pablo describió en versículos 50 a 58.
He says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
Y dice, en el cerrar y abrir los ojos, vamos a ser transformados.
It's like describing an instantaneous change.
Y describe algo instantemente.
As quick as you blink.
Tan rápido que abrimos y cerramos nuestros ojos.
And ultimately, the final enemy to be conquered is death.
Últimamente, el último enemigo final es la muerte.
And it has been conquered in Christ.
Y ha sido vencido por medio de Jesucristo.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God that we have hope in Jesus.
Y gracias que tenemos esperanza en Jesús.
Amen. Well, there's a question on YouTube.
Do you want to say it, James?
Lazarus, what is the difference between Lazarus and Jesus? Lazarus was dead for 4 days, but then he was called forth. Remember, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came out of the grave alive, but he didn't live eternally. He only came back to life to live the same human life he was living before. You know, church tradition actually says that Lazarus ultimately became a pastor, and many would come to that church and where he was as a result of the testimony that he had once been dead and had come back to life. And so I don't know if you want to try to say that in Spanish.
Oh, you kind of had said, I'm not sure if that question might have come
before
after.
I had said it. And so another thing to think about with Lazarus is that when he died, ultimately he will resurrect from the dead just like all other dead will in the future.
Okay.
Whereas Jesus, when he resurrected from the dead, he resurrected eternally. Remember, he had a resurrected body, which, remember, it could appear in a building and disappear. Remember, when he was walking with those on the road to Emmaus, he was walking with them, and they didn't even recognize him. But then when he broke bread, finally, they recognized him, and he disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a resurrected body. That is not what Lazarus had, but Lazarus will have that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Any other questions? Anybody have a question here in church concerning any of this? How many of you are grateful for the resurrection?
¿Cuántos están agradecidos por la resurrección?
You know, ultimately, I'm grateful to God that this world isn't our home.
Últimamente, yo estoy agradecido que este mundo no es mi casa eterna.
Now, what is God saying to us today?
¿Y qué está diciéndonos a nosotros hoy en este día, Dios?
We should be grateful for Christ's reconciling work on our behalf.
Debemos de estar agradecidos por la reconciliación de Cristo en nuestro favor.
And we need to understand that those that don't have Christ are still under God's wrath.
Y entender que no, los que no han recibido a Jesucristo están debajo de la ira de Dios.
Let's live in such a way that we will attract the unsaved to Jesus.
Vamos a vivir en una manera que los que nos miren en nuestra vida van a querer a Jesucristo en su vida.
Let's look at the ministry in action.
El ministerio en acción.
Number one is, take time to examine your heart to see if you are trying to earn your relationship with God rather than serve him out of love for all that he has done.
Dedique tiempo para examinar su corazón y ver si está tratando de ganar su relación con Dios en lugar de servirle amorosamente en respuesta a todo lo que él ha hecho.
Amen. What we should be doing should be the byproduct of our relationship with him.
Lo que hacemos, lo hacemos porque le amamos a él.
Secondly, if there is someone in the body of Christ against whom you are holding a grudge, take a step this week to repair that relationship.
Si hay alguien en el cuerpo de Cristo contra quien tiene algún resentimiento, dé un paso esta semana para reparar esa relación.
And lastly, do at least one thing this week to help point an unbeliever toward reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ.
Haga por lo menos una cosa esta semana para guiar a un inconverso a la reconciliación con Dios a través de Jesucristo.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that we are learning in our study of the story of the New Testament. We pray that, Lord, as we continue next Sunday looking at the letters of Paul, that you would help us to understand the significance of the new covenant and all that you have accomplished for us through Christ. Help us to be believers that will be examples, Lord, of who Christ is and what he expects, and that we will live for Christ in such a way that people will be attracted to Jesus that is being manifest through us. And so be glorified. Bless the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.